All right, guys, let's get going. So I'm going to talk today. I want to, one of our core values we talk about on a pretty regular basis, being open to change, right?
Amen.
Being open to change.
Huh? What are we changing?
Oh, we're actually going to Forest Services.
We're talking about this very important thing.
Not today.
Why did you erase it?
I just wanted that to be on your mind. Open to change when I talk about this. I'm not necessarily talking about open to change, but I'm talking about something that fuels open to change.
Okay.
It's a mindset, it's a practice, it's a behavior that allows us to be open to change.
Okay.
Because I think that open to change is something that we all struggle with. I think that I'm really open to change if I'm the one changing it. And I'm really not open to change if you want to change it. So I think that we need to practice some disciplines. So here's a thought. Did I spell that correctly? I think so.
What are you?
Four.
I can't see anything.
Four thoughts.
Good.
Four thoughts. If I spell cursive, then you don't know if I spelled it or not.
Autocorrect says you're right.
Huh?
Autocorrect says you're right.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I got it correct this time. Four thoughts. So I'll ask you guys a question. Talk back to me. Okay. Have you ever had that moment where you tried something new? You try it for the first time, and you're like, I am never doing that ever again.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll talk.
Yes. Yes. Okay, tell me. You want to tell about it?
Well, I don't know. It just feels like the first time you try anything, everybody hates it. And then you're like, I never want to do that again.
Yes.
Because literally, I was just thinking about this week, everyone, I just keep, even with the three services thing, people come up, they're like, I feel like the next 6 months are going to be so crazy and hectic, and I'm not looking forward to it. Like,
yeah,
why do I have to correct everybody's thoughts all the time? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Somebody else want to tell? Yeah.
Yeah, I tried fermented duck egg.
I remember that. No, that actually is one thing you probably shouldn't.
It was not good.
That's rogue. That is not inside of this conversation.
You said something you tried and you never want to try again. That was just the first thing that came to mind.
That is hilarious.
There's just some things that just don't belong.
I remember the first time I ever tried a pho. Yeah. My friend was like, dude, you gotta try pho.
Oh, yeah.
And, pho's good.
No, it was like try pho.
And so this is what I said. I said, if I'm gonna try it, I'm gonna go full authentic.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I want the full experience.
Yeah, I'm not that brave.
And so. So I go, first of all, like, it should have been a red flag that it was a restaurant that was inside the mall.
Mall food isn't great,
but I went to Fulicious.
Fulicious.
It was not delicious. It was Fulicious. And I went and I was like, I want full authentic. So I asked, like, what's the most authentic thing on the menu? And it was something that had tripe in it and all this weird stuff. And it was gross. And I was like, determined to, you know. I'm like, if I'm ever called to be a missionary. So, anyway, I finished it, and I'm never going to be a missionary.
That one experience. But you didn't want to be a missionary.
I'm
authentic food from a place called Fulish.
I know, right? So, anyways, I was like, I'm never going to do that again. But here's the thing. Like, I have all kinds of friends, including you guys, who love pho.
Yeah. It's so good. The first time I had it.
The first time you had it. So here's...
That was not good.
So here's the thing, guys. Here's what I'm getting at. How is it that you can try it, and it's amazing, but I can try it, and it's terrible?
Baby steps.
It's all about perception.
We try baby steps. You go for, like... down the cliff.
Don't get the tripe.
Right, that's the way. It was the way it was introduced to you.
Baby steps.
So the way it was introduced.
I tried chicken and I
liked perception.
It. Same place.
And you guys probably had something different. Mm-hmm. You guys probably didn't have tripe. You guys probably.
I mean, me and you
had
together
different.
Tried different things.
This is what I wrote down about this because I want us to think about this because this applies not just to pho or to duck egg, but to what?
It's called balut.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's just out of the picture. Sorry. But it applies to a lot of areas of our life. It applies to your own personal development. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes we see things in our life and we're like, I can't be that. Mm. But then somebody else, let me ask you a question. If somebody were to tell you today, I see you as a millionaire. Like, what would you like instantly kind of like throw that out? Like, whatever. That's kind of like silly, right? It's kind of silly.
Actually, not interested in
that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really see myself that way.
You're like, how do we do this?
You know, like that. That's kind of like where it goes, right? Yeah. It kind of gets in this bucket, but yeah.
I can't do that.
Do you have a friend who's a millionaire? I got a friend who's a millionaire. Or somebody might say, you know what? I see you preaching to, tens of thousands. I see you preaching at the next, Orange Conference or at the next MFI. I see you preaching at MFI, down the road. Or I see, whatever it is, like something that's kind of, you're like, wow, I know people and I see people who do that. But me? Like, I've never seen myself do that. How is it that we can see other people do something that we can't see ourselves doing? Mm-hmm. Maybe you see people who, do this certain practice. They get up early. They get up at 5 a.m. every single morning, and you're like, not me. Well, how do you know that that's not you?
Yeah.
I know that's
because,
not me.
Because you tried it and it didn't work? Maybe because you tried it and it didn't work. But what if there's a way to make it work? Mm-hmm. So oftentimes the difference in this whole thing is right here. It's in perception. Mm-hmm. How you perceive it to be. How you think of it to be. And this is your personal life. This is your spiritual life. This is your team. This is your leadership life. This is your future. This is everything. It's all about perception. The Pharisees, think about this. The Pharisees could not accept Jesus. Why couldn't the Pharisees accept that Jesus was the Messiah?
Because they thought he was king with a robe and a throne and an army.
And he was going to take that
different
on
picture of the Messiah.
They perceived him completely different.
They also didn't want to change.
They also didn't want to change.
They were a bunch of hypocrites.
They didn't want to lose their position. Jesus was a threat to their position. A king with a throne and a physical throne in the kingdom was not a threat, because that kind of a king would want the Pharisees and need the Pharisees. So they were fine being ruled as long as they could keep their position. Yet the disciples could not resist Jesus. So the Pharisees couldn't adopt Jesus, couldn't accept Jesus because of everything that they were going to lose. And the disciples could not resist Jesus because of everything that they gained. And so it's all about perception. It's the way they viewed Jesus. And the way that you view life, the way that you view the change that God wants to bring into your life, the way that you view these even basic disciplines of our life, the way that you view your team, the way that you view the church, the way that you view your position on this team, it all hinges on this idea of how do you perceive it and how do you perceive yourself. Do you perceive the team as young, inexperienced, still trying to figure things out, nothing ever stays the same? Do you view the team as advanced and charting new territory and awesome and you're an amazing part of it? Do you view yourself on the team as everybody around me is awesome, I'm still trying to figure things out? Do you feel, yeah, see yourself on the team as I'm a part of the team, I'm an integral part of the team, and, you know, like, I'm glad to be investing into this continually? The truth is that you won't know. Oops, I just erased that. I wanted to, well, it gives me a chance to respell it. Make it look better. I'll write this out again. You won't know any of this perception idea. You won't know any of this until you practice this word right here. Forethought. And you can't be open to change unless you practice forethought. And forethought is simply this: thinking ahead. Fore means ahead, thought. Okay, so how do you practice forethought on a regular basis? I was thinking about this, and the first thought that came to my mind is Drex's amazing meat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think we need an example.
Because when I hear Drex talk about smoking meat, there's like all of this practice that goes into it. He's like, oh, I was like up at 2 a.m.,
yeah.
You know, or like, I gotta go buy these special like ridiculous spices.
Yes.
I'm like, I didn't even know those spices exist, you know, like, he's like, yeah, like, I rubbed it for like 5 hours with my bare hands, you know? I'm like, dude, what the heck?
The last time he was, what, up for 24 hours?
Yeah. Well, you all enjoyed it, didn't
you? Yeah, we did.
That's amazing. Like, do you guys take shit?
That's the difference between baking your chicken in the oven for 45 minutes and then...
Yes.
12 hours, I don't know
how
long it was.
Yeah.
It was a long time. But here's the thing, like, the reason I thought about that is because, like, you can't do that at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's at, like, honey, what should we have for dinner? Bro, I got an idea. How about a 12-hour smoked steak?
Yeah.
You know, like, let's have that for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, well, you can have that for tomorrow's dinner, but you can't have that for today's dinner. Mm-hmm. So it requires forethought, you know? You got to know what you're going to do with it. You got to go get the spices for it. You got to preheat the smoker. You got to... Drex could tell us everything you have to do. So...
sharpen the knife.
So forethought is really just thinking ahead. And you guys practice forethought all the time. Shopping lists are forethought.
Yeah.
Cooking dinner, you know, is forethought. The three of us were cleaning the house before you guys got here. Some of us who cook have more or less forethought than others. I definitely have less. Except for if you ask for butter chicken.
Oh, yeah.
That starts at 9 a.m. But and you eat it by 6, but it's good. But like before you guys got here, we were cleaning the house, you know, and getting everything ready. I was like getting rid of the cat hair. My cat's shedding like crazy right now, so I have to dust everything and vacuum everything. And, you know, forethought, right? That's forethought. Forethought is simply thinking ahead. And so... You know, when you're building out your teams, and I talked about this a little bit in the life group leader training, like, what do you see? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you see in your mind? Like, if you were to close your eyes, like, what do you see your next team huddle as being? What kind of energy?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of depth in the spiritual? like, how do you, and I'll go through like what I did with the life group leaders, like, how do you see that team praying? Do you see them laying hands on each other? Do you see them having a word at the end that you're like, love, you know, and you put your hands in the middle and bounce back out, you know, like, do you see that? Like, I'll be honest with you, sometimes we do that, and like, KK is the only one that's got her hand in the middle. And I'm like,
dude, I try.
I'm like, that's not what I see. You yeah, know, like, I see something different. Okay, like, and, like, what do you see your team serving as? Like, how do you see them serving? Like, what kind of energy? What kind of pastoral care towards one another? Mm-hmm. What kind of, like, in the services, you know, in the kids' services, like, do you see those kids laying hands on each other? Do you see them prophesying over each other? Do you see them worshiping with their hands raised and dancing? Like, what do you see? Mm. Because if you can't see it, you can't build it.
Yeah.
Think about this. Just go on this. Drex and I talked about this the other day. Just go on this journey with me. How many, Darcy would remember, Darcy, what was the detective that had the black outfit and he had the watch that he talked into? What was the detective?
Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, yes.
Was it Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, Inspector Gadget. Yes, with the weird watch.
And that was like, yeah, weird watch, especially in the 80s, it was a weird watch mm-hmm. because our watches were just a little, you know,
oh, right.
wristband, you know?
Smart watches,
yeah. We had that. And now we got this.
Yeah.
And what do we do? Just like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, we're talking to it.
We're talking to it. I was telling Drex, you know, I was a little kid. I was like 7 years old, maybe. And I had these little comic books, you know. It was Zanin. And he was like, it was like Christian comics. It was pretty cool. Anyways, I couldn't read regular comics, and so my parents got me Christian comics. Cause
cool.
I'm not really sure what the difference was. Same thing, written by a guy who was a Christian. Okay, so, but anyways, he had such cool stuff. He had cool gear, guys. Like, he had these rockets on his legs, so he could like float around. Well, what have we got now? You can do that,
yeah,
bro. You can do that.
That's crazy.
Remember, like. The hoverboard. Remember that from like, oh, yeah. Wasn't that in Back to the Future?
Yes.
And now we actually have it. Yeah. Or what about, oh, Zanin, my little book, they had a digital billboard.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
That's
so cool. And guess what?
Yeah.
It's not so cool anymore. It's kind of like everywhere.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is that, and Hollywood's actually really good at this. They take what...
I'm not signed up for the Hunger Games.
They take what is imaginary. They take that stuff that's like way out there and they paint a picture with it. And here's the equation. If you guys went through TPI, I think Chris Moss of the only ones that didn't. Clayton, you didn't. But I plus B
Saints training.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. This is where Hollywood does it. And for a lot of people, we don't realize that Hollywood is actually one of the most prophetic voices in America.
Yeah.
It's just in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's the wrong kind of prophecy. But
it's still
it is still. And the thing is that they're painting a picture, and it's so emotional. And it becomes reality. Imagination plus vividness equals reality. So when it becomes, when your eyes can see it, and it's so vivid in front of you that it causes an emotional response from within you, you have no other option than to try to make it real. Because truthfully, we are an emotional being. This is why, you know, those faiths that try to just kill all of the emotion, they just don't produce healthy people. They produce broken people. Because we are truly an emotional people. And so it ends up being It just produces broken people. It doesn't work. So if you want to see results in your personal development, if you want to see results in your leadership development, if you see an area of your life where you're like, I wish I was there, but I'm not, or maybe there is this backwards, false humility that says, I don't need that. Right? Like that, there is a backwards, false humility. It's like, you know what? I don't need to be like the epic leader dude, you know? Like, I don't need to be the great this, you know? I don't need to be that, you know, awesome. I'm fine just kind of being this, you know? I'll just kind of sit back here. Okay, the problem with that is this. Actually, guys, God's called you for greatness. Mm-hmm. God has called you for greatness. God did not call you to be second best. God did not call you to be just the little person, you know. I'm just the little minion, you know. And you know what? God actually called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm-hmm. Which means he's shining a light on you. He's putting you in the spotlight. And so we need to sometimes realize that, yeah, maybe your gift isn't a stage gift. Okay, I'm not saying everybody's gift is a stage gift. But there's a lot of people who have a not stage gift who are doing great things in the kingdom of God. They're moving mountains in the kingdom of God. I mean, we could just point out so many. We won't take the time to do that. But I think we need to realize that sometimes we take a fear of failure and mask it, we skin it in a fake sort of humility that just kind of, it looks good, but it's just a failed version of God's plan. And the way that we overcome that is with forethought. We start talking and thinking and imagining and journaling. What would it be like if? What would it be like if I led, you know, a person to the Lord every week? What would it be like if I invited three people a week to church? What would it be like if my team was so electric that, you know, they were just bubbly every week and excited and they came early? Like, what would it be like if I didn't have, you know, PCO declines every single week? What would it look like if I actually got up early every morning? Maybe not 5 a.m., maybe 6, maybe 6:30. What would it be like if I got up early enough to spend 2 hours in the presence of God? For some of us, that would be like a massive stretch, you know? Okay, maybe an hour, maybe 45 minutes in the presence of God. What would it be like if I started doing these things? What would it be like if I, you know, laid hands on somebody and saw them filled with the Holy Spirit? What would it be like if, you know, sometimes I imagine, I'm like, Lord, this is like my secret, okay? Don't tell anybody this, but you know, I just think it's so cool. Like, God, like, what if one Sunday, like in the middle of my message, I just like did this and everybody was slamming the Holy Spirit? You know, you see, like, Benny Hinn did that, you know? Like, I'm like, Lord, what would happen? Like, wouldn't that just be like so cool? Like, whoosh, and everybody just slammed. We're like, wow, God's moving today, you know? Okay. Anyways, so image plus vividness equals reality, okay? So that's just my little secret thought. You can't let that out. So
it's going to be on Spotify.
So image plus vividness equals reality. So I want you to think about this. I want you to get a notebook and actually think about this and write things down. Make it clear. If you can't see it, you can't build it. And if you can't write it, you won't remember it. Like, if you have a vision in your head of something, and it's and you're just kind of like throwing it in the back of your brain, it's always going to be yesterday's thought. And it's always just going to be like this, like, oh yeah, maybe someday. Someday. Someday is the killer of today. And so when we say someday, your brain doesn't have to do anything with that at all. Someday I want to see. If it's someday, then what do you need to do today? If it's someday, what do you need to do today? If you're not doing something today to build your someday, then you're not going anywhere. You're just spinning in circles. You're on the hamster wheel. And you're not building anything. And you're just sitting in this place of abdicating the building process, abdicating, putting off to the side, saying, I don't have the tools, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to deal with it. Most of the time we do that is because we don't want to fail. So I don't want to make a big mistake. I don't want to make, and I'll just go on the record as saying this. I would rather you make mistakes than not try at all. I would rather you fall flat on your face than not do anything, than never risk it. You know how many times Stella and I have fallen flat on our face? I mean, it's just like, you know what? I remember this. I'll tell you guys a story, just so that you guys know. Because I'm sure you've seen us fall flat on your face, but this one was like, this was a near-death experience in my life. Near-death experience. We turned a flat on our face into a champion. But I'll and it's exactly this. So, at the house church in Southeast Portland, we did a like harvest party type of a thing. We called it Glow Night. Is that what we called it? Yeah. Glow Night. So we, and it took a lot of salesmanship to get our team to do this, but because, you know, there was no staff and it was just us, just Stella and I was the only one on the team getting paid, and even then I was still driving for Uber, and everybody else had their jobs too. And so, you know, getting everybody out to decorate the building for Glow Night for the Civil Harvest Party that's going to be Halloween night, it was like a big ask. So we got everybody out, and we had games. We actually borrowed some games from here, from my mom. We went all out. We had PlayStations. We had PlayStations, Wii,
kids games,
all kinds of stuff. Everybody, it was electric, guys. It was electric. The music was going, and we were right in the heart of Southeast, right in the middle of the neighborhood. So prime. I mean, if people didn't show up, like, clearly we weren't there. And people didn't show up. Not a single person.
No, I'm so sorry.
Not,
I don't remember.
Not one person?
Just listened.
And I'm sitting there, and I am, like, freaking out, guys. Because we've invested money. I've sold this to the team. We spent over 4 hours. I don't know how long we spent setting up. It was a long time setting up. And I'm like, this is an epic failure. Like, not only does this make me look bad as a leader, but now my team is discouraged. I can handle, like, you know, making a leadership mistake. What I can't handle is for the entire dream team to be in a state of discouragement. That's like trying to revive a dead body. And so I said to myself, where's my marker at? said to myself, because I had gone through Satsy's talk, the next time, you guys remember hearing about this? The next time. Mm-hmm. What's the next time going to look like? And then I asked myself a question that I heard Andy Stanley tell me to ask myself before. He said he has a little note on his desk. It says, I can't remember exactly what it says, but the gist of the question is this. If you were to resign today and a new pastor was to take your place, what would he do that you're not doing? And so I said to myself, if this was, and I had people in my mind, I was like, if this is Brian Becker, he's a pastor that I knew of, very successful. If this is Brian Becker, if this is Darrell Corbin, if this was, you know, name your person, what would they be doing? Elijah Waters? I was like, well, I know what they would be doing. And so I got horrible results. But before I called it a failure, I said, you know what? I'm going to go do what I know that they would do. And so I grabbed a stack of flyers that were invites to our church. And I went into the streets. I knocked on every door, every single person. And I was like, come to our event right over there. Come, come, come. I spent 45 minutes. I invited like literally hundreds of people.
You had the team go with you, right?
No, they didn't. No, I told them, I said, stay there because they're coming.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to the highways and the byways, people. And I just started, I was just like, I went in the street. I was passing out as fast as I could for like 40 minutes. And I was like, dear Lord, something better happen. I went back and they're like, you won't believe it. They're like, it's full.
It was like 200 people. I go to.
Right. Really cool. So here's the thing. Yeah, and I want to come back to this question. Have you ever done something and said, I will never do that again? I can guarantee you, if that would have failed, I probably would have never wanted to do that again. I would have been like, the last time, guys, that didn't work. The last time. Let's talk about that for a second. Mm. How many of you have ever said that? The last time that didn't work. We already tried that.
Well, we had that with two services.
We already tried that. Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like how that felt. I didn't like how that tasted. I didn't like how whatever. That was a lot of work. The last time. You know, the problem is that we spend way too much of our time in hindsight. And not enough time in forethought. We spend too much of our time thinking about the last time and not enough time thinking about what am I going to do next time to make it work. If it didn't work last time, maybe there's a reason. The reason we were able to make two services work is because we had a conversation and like two services didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work for us. I was like, let's talk about that for a second. Because I could probably list a dozen, if not more, churches, I mean, literally off the top of my head, who are doing two services and more. And they're thriving. So maybe what we don't need to say is, the last time, it didn't work. Remember, it didn't work, didn't work, didn't work. Sorry. Nope, doesn't work for us. Sorry, I don't like it. Nope, too much work. Nope. No, maybe what we need to say is the next time we're going to do this. The next time. In order to get that conversation going, you have to practice forethought. The next time I'm going to, and then start writing it in your journal. The next time I try to get up at 6:30. I'm going to hit the timer on my coffee machine and I'm going to put coffee beans in the thing until it makes me a cup of coffee so that when I get up, the house smells like coffee. Okay. For us coffee enthusiasts, we would say, that's a horrible idea. Your beans are oxidizing all night long. But if you're not...
you get some coffee in the morning.
Just put it.
Yeah, right?
A couple of coffee beans.
It smells great.
A couple beans next to your bed.
Coffee.
The next time I try tripe, ooh. The next time I try pho, I'm gonna go with
chicken.
Somebody like Kay, who loves pho, and I'm going to let her order it for me and tell me what I should get.
Go to a different restaurant.
I'm just kidding.
Not too
delicious.
Yeah, the next time that
so
I...
disgusting.
And you start getting imaginative with it. But it requires forethought. Like I said, mm-hmm. how many times during a day, I want you to think, just close your eyes for a second, how many times during a day do you actually think about like things of the past? I'm not talking about, fond memories, but I'm thinking about like things that didn't work. And if you can open your eyes now, if you find that you think about that a lot, then I would encourage you to change the way that you're thinking, because those thoughts are limiting thoughts. Those thoughts are things that are killing your future, your ability to create. Because if your brain is stuck in a reel of failed decisions, then your brain is constantly living in a place of discord. Also, if your brain is stuck in a... And I'm going to erase this again. There's a word that I'll write on here. I believe I spelled this correctly. Melissa can spell check it for me. Cognitive dissonance. That's when your future is uncertain. You don't know what to do. Or maybe you've got multiple decisions and you don't know which one to choose. And so they're constantly, I wish I don't know what to do. I'm so I'm just so confused. I just don't know. Like, I can do this, I can do that. I don't know which one I'm going to choose. And so, or you're just stuck on I know I should, but I don't know how to do it. I have no clue where to start, and so you're just not doing it. Either one of those, if you're stuck in those, your brain is in a place of cognitive dissonance. Your brain knows it should, but it doesn't know how. Or it doesn't know when. Or it doesn't know why. And so what we do is we shelf all of those ideas. Now what happens is it's just like in your physical life. If you've got stuff, energy that should be expended, but it doesn't have the ability to extend it, what happens? Well, we actually call that cellulite and cortisone buildup. So we get, we add around here. I've got a little that I'm not going to show you. But, this is what happens. And we get cortisol buildup, we get stress. The same thing happens in your life. If you've got energy that needs to be expended, okay? I'm 45 years old and I haven't even graduated college yet. And I just don't know how to, I don't know where to go. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what if I fail? What if I do this? I just met with a guy. He's like, what if I didn't do good in high school? What if I fail? What if I don't do good? What if I don't know how to do the MLA formatting? And what if I don't know how? I'm like, guess what? Truth of the matter is,
you'll get an app.
You don't even know. Because you haven't even tried yet. And so you don't know. Let me ask you a different question. He stares me in the face. I said, what if you succeed? What if you do it? What if in 3 years you do get your degree? What are you? And his eyes kind of got big, and I'm like, what if you surprise yourself at how good you actually are at this? See, we're always taking our past and imposing it upon our future. And so if you've got this, right, like, I should have done this, I should have been there, I should have, or I need to, and I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what to do with it, guess what you're doing? You've got that decision, plus this decision, plus another decision, and you're starting to create, you got a spare tire all around. And you're just like, and stress is building up, and frustration is building up, and then somebody says, oh, guys, sorry, the printer broke, and you're like, and you lose it. And you're like, and we're like, what in the heck just happened? Well, the problem is that you've got buildup. And you got to get rid of that buildup. And the only way that you're going to get rid of that buildup is you need to go home at night. You need to get out a little notebook. And you need to go practice some forethought. So what would it look like? If I went to college, what would it look like to have a degree? What would it look like to get up early and spend some more time with Jesus? What would it look like to get up there and lead my group with confidence? And I'm saying, thus says the Lord, and I'm praying right now a prophetic prayer over these people, and not being quiet and, okay, let's raise our hands. And nobody raises their hands because they can't even hear you say, raise your hands. And he said, I just want to pray for you right now. And we just say in the name of Jesus, just come out. And man, that demon, he's just like, I'll let you pray for me any day of the week. What would it be like to, you know, what would it be like to stand with courage and boldness and the fear of the Lord? What would it look like to do things a little bit different? What would it be like to make that decision? What would it be like to go, you know what, I'm just going to go confront that person because this is ridiculous. I'm not having this anymore. I'm done with this. What would it look like to be the person that's not afraid to confront, that's not afraid to have those difficult conversations? What would it look like? Get out a notebook and start writing it down and practice some forethought. Because if you can't see it, you can't feel it. And you can't make it a reality. And so, what we need to do is we need this. This requires some time alone, time just between us and God, of saying, Lord, show me the kind of person that you see me as being. It's not just me making things up, right? Because, I mean, you could probably make all kinds of... I think this is the difference between daydreaming and actually practicing forethought.
Prophetic thinking.
And so it's prophetic thinking. It's thinking that comes from the Lord. Lord, show me the real version of me. Show me the version of me that you are desiring me to be. Show me the person that you're making me into being. Show me the person that you have called into this position that, that you've put me in. And that I'm that I that you want me to be right now, and then start just writing, just start journaling, just start pulling it out. Lord, show me this team. Lord, show me this men's team. Lord, show me this young adults team. Lord, show me this youth team. Lord, show me this prayer team, these kids teams. Lord, show me this custodial team. Lord, show me this green room team. Lord, show me this pastoral team. Lord, show me, what does this team look like? Well, they look like enthusiastic. They got a smile on their face. Their teeth are showing. They're welcoming. They're shaking hands. They're prophesying. They're grabbing kids' hands and laying them on others and prophesying over them. And they're doing this and they're doing that. And they're in the streets and they're inviting. And their posters are up all over the city. And everybody's talking about them. And it's all over Instagram. Like, whatever. You know, just like... walk in the room, music's playing, it's loud, it's energy, lights are flashing, and we end that song, and the whole church is cheering, and the whole church is shouting, and write it all out. When Stella and I wrote it out for Fusion, we had Audrey and Drex were there. I think when we first started, we had 20 kids there, and it was dead. It was not fun. Do you remember that, Audrey? When we first came, and it was, they used to start every week, okay, here's the rules.
Well,
Clayton was there.
Clayton was there.
This is $50.
Well, also had like changed hands like 3 times in 3 years.
So it was like it'd gone through some trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember. I just remember, like, this is what I remember. Starting off, here's the rules, guys. You know, one seat per person. Can't go to the bathroom. I'm like, I feel like I'm in school again.
No phones.
No phones. I was like, I'm the youth pastor, and I don't even want to be here. Like, this is bad, you know? So we practiced some forethought, and we took a page and a half and just wrote out everything that we saw. Everything from the parking lot. Huh? It was 3 pages. It's like everything from the parking lot, everything from the teams, how they acted during the week, how kids were being contacted during the week, what the leaders were doing, how the worship sounded, what the auditorium smelt like. Because at that time, it was before Scent Machines.
Let's just be real. Like, did they just... I mean, I don't know about it now, but it just always smelled bad.
It always smelled bad.
Can't really get... I don't know how you get rid of that. But... We put air fresheners in.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
To go down to Bath and Body Works and get the fresheners.
So bad, though.
That's how you open the door.
So we just wrote it all out.
We should have.
And when we rolled it all out, we wrote it all out, we started making little statements, little affirmations. This is what I see. And we could build. From there, we could build. If you can't see it, you can't build. If you don't have a blueprint for a house, you can't build a house.
Yeah.
Nobody builds a house without a blueprint.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so that's where it begins. What time is it?
11:10.
Have you guys got time for me to tell you a story?
Yeah.
Or no?
Cake eating is canceled.
Yeah, because they thought that spring break was this week.
Is it next week?
It's next week.
Yeah. I know it's confusing. Spring break's different for like every single school.
That's true.
Yeah, Stanford.
Also, I'm so not sad. Happy that spring break is this week that we're starting 3 services because I've already had someone cancel. They're gonna be gone.
Yeah.
Really?
Any questions, guys? I'll tell you my story in a second, but any questions about that? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Does this strike a chord with anybody?
Yes.
I think it's so good.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's hard for me, though, is we talk about having, like, we talk about feedback. I'm not trying to go off topic. I feel like it goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I still don't know how to get, like, I know that we've got to, like, get that vision to them so they see it, like, you're never talking about, it's vivid, like, they need to see it so clearly, like, so brightly that it's like, this is it, this is going to become the reality, but at the same time, it's like, how do you... Like, people will have feedback and ideas that I can't use or I'm not going to use.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so discouraged about it. Or they don't see what I see. I'm, like, still trying to figure out, like, the last time that we did some feedback, I was like, this is, like how do I get this back to where we're going?
Mm-hmm. So how does it work for you? Because you're building now something that we see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But did you see what we saw when you first came on the team?
What do you mean? Like
what when you first came on the team.
Yeah.
Like back in 2020, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you saw what you see now? Or has it changed? Or maybe you could say, like, going back even years before that, like, has your vision, your ability to see
like
the ministry, like, would you have maybe had, like, if you, 5 years ago, would you have been the one getting feedback that was like, Aaron and Stella probably wouldn't use that feedback?
No. Well, I don't, I'm not, like... I feel like I can understand. I'm at a point where I understand when there's feedback that doesn't go with the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even offer it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just stuff that was, like, coming out, and I was like, this is, doesn't go... So I'm like, is it a breakdown of, like, we're not bringing the vision? Or, like, is this just, like, I don't know.
Because what I'm getting at is yeah. somehow each person on this team has been able to catch the vision.
Yes.
And I don't think that you all saw the vision
completely
when you came here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think each one of us probably would have been people to offer feedback that was, you know, culturally inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So our vision has changed, or we now see something okay. different, right? And hold on a second. And we got there.
Mm-hmm.
So how did, this is the kind of the question, like, how did Aaron and Stella, how did we get you here? What did we do that helped you to see something bigger?
You told us we were going to do it.
Well, I was going to say, for one thing, we're meeting every week. We're talking. Like, it was a lot of.
That's true.
Not everyone is as invested.
Yes,
that's true.
Which actually is not, like, I haven't. I don't know. Go ahead, Stella. I guess what I'm saying is, how do you direct the feedback? How do you say, this is what the feedback
I have personal for? Experience with this.
Also, how do I fit it in? Because it feels like Sunday's so rushed. We're like, give the feedback, fill out feedback forms. Half the time I forget to do it because it's everything feels so urgent. I have 15 mm-hmm. minutes. And I don't know. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm kind of thinking about, like, maybe after service, like, say, hey, let's talk about that.
Mm.
Let's talk about what happened. Make people slow down and stop for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
And then say, fill that out right now. I don't know. Or fill it out when you get home. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, they can do it anytime.
Yeah.
Darcy, is it okay?
Yeah.
If I talk about, like, our growing relationship, like, so with Darcy, like, she would, like, a couple years ago, she would come and give, like, ideas. And I was like, I'm really excited about this, and should we do it? And I'm like, and I'm thinking the same, like, it's culturally doesn't fit, you know, mm-hmm. with where we're going. So, like, obviously on the spot you can't really explain, but yeah. then we would sit down and talk, and I'll be like, okay, so does this put people first?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'd go filter it through the clarity. Yeah. So, like, or does this express that we have fun? Like, we want to have rules at the front of our service. I would ask them to give me an answer, because, like, every time she was like, you're right, that does not make sense. Like, it helps the mind to try to change the perspective and the thinking, but you have to use, that's why we worked on the clarity so much, because it defines every decision and it defines every change.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, okay, for instance, like, one of the things I could tell all of my team members was kind of upset because I didn't want to take feedback from parents because it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're not in here. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, they're not really in here. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope that made sense to them, but they didn't seem very happy that I was not going to involve the parents in dictating how we were going to run our service.
Mm-hmm. And you can also offer an alternative option, because, like, I know you want to do parent meetings, so that's a place for parents to give feedback.
And I did say I would love to meet with parents, but see, like, they wanted to be involved in that part. But I was like,
they can be. Get on the team.
Yeah. I mean, when we have it. Yeah.
But most parents are, like, not on the team because they have the kids. You know, some, but not a lot.
Oh, yeah, if there's parents on the team, That's how parents can be involved in helping us build this.
But, I mean, I would say always filter it through the clarity and then allow that person. It's the personal conversation that's going to help. Mm-hmm. I know that's tedious, but that's how it works.
That's better. That's putting people first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Some more questions. More thoughts.
I know for me, when I came on, half the stuff that I have done, I would never have done before.
Mm.
And when I jokingly say, you know, because you told us we're going to do it, you know, but also you showed me how to do it and you talked to me about it and you kind of started discipling me to where I could change my mindset and look at this and go, okay, this is doable. This is something I can do. Let's try this. You know, so discipleship, I think, is a big thing on changing mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I first came, I was hired so much later than you guys, so I feel like I came in and you guys had like all this clarity set already. But like when I came in, I first had like a totally different like perspective or vision, I guess, what my department will look like. And then like even like our first like staff meeting here, like my whole vision changed just from based on like what you guys would teach like on the board and stuff. So
I think that a lot of like distance skews perception. I was looking at, Matt was showing me, because a while back he had taken me, he's like, hey, let's go and drive. So we went and drive on this field that they were developing, and talk about forethought. Like, that's a great like illustration, because I mean, like, he took me out on this field loaded with weeds. I mean, it's like a total disaster. I mean, it would be like, you know, this over on by Sandstone, that little plot that's for sale over there, mm-hmm. and it's just literally cheap grass. The whole thing's just full of it, and it's bumpy, not graded. I mean, take that for 120 acres, and now just imagine, close your eyes and imagine that this is going to be a beautiful field that grows watermelons, you know, like, it's wild. I mean, it was like this. I mean, the terrain was such that, like, I mean, you can't even, you know,
run
the machine over it. you can't plant that. And so, anyways, so, you know, he's saying, he's like, okay, this is going to be this. And he's like painting this picture, and he's like, there's going to be irrigation here, and it's going to go like this. And this, you know, these valleys are going to be all filled in, and they're going to be smooth, so our machines can run over it and perfectly and all of this. And I'm like, wow, really? You know, I'm like, and that's as we're driving and the trucks are going like this, you know, it's like, you know. And so yesterday, or maybe it was Sunday night or something, I don't remember, he came over and he's like, we're working on that field. He's like, look at it. And I'm like, wow. And he's like, yeah. He's like, we sit, and there was this like big kind of like valley kind of type thing. You could tell like the height was different on the ground, you know, but these tractors were, he's like, yeah. He's like, we got to fix that. He's like, because that's a 14-foot drop. And I'm like, oh my gosh, 14-foot drop. I'm like, looking at the image, I'm like, and I zoom in, and all of a sudden, I'm like, there's a tractor in that thing. I'm like, that is not small, right? Like, it looked like, you know, you could just kind of step up, you know? Like, that's how the valley looked. And I'm like, Matt, there's literally a tractor inside of that. That is huge. And he's like, yeah, that's why we got to fix it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So like, that is what I'm saying, is distance skews perception. And so when you find that you have leaders who, and I think, Audrey, this is maybe how I was reading your question. I think you and Stella were probably reading more in line with each other. But I'll come at that same question with a backdoor approach. Okay. Like, if you find that you have leaders who are constantly bringing just the wildest, insane ideas, I think what that tells us is that they're far away from the vision, and we need to somehow get them closer, because their perception is viewed. You know, their perception is skewed.
Yeah.
And so somehow, you know, like Darcy and Clayton said, you know, you guys caught the vision because you're here every week. You guys go to MFI conference with us. You're seeing things that we're seeing, mm-hmm. because we're getting you immersed in it. And we can't bring every person to MFI conference, but you know what? We could bring them to MFI regional, and we could bring our teens there, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a great way to say, let's go see something different. Let's go see, why don't you see a fully operating version of what we're trying to build? Let's go look at it. Let's go see what it looks like.
So do we know it's going to be at, do they have like sessions at MFI? Do they already know? Do we know it's going
to
be offered?
We need to maybe contact them and find out. That's kind of what I was worried about because I wanted to invite teams, but then I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be stuff for them.
Yeah.
Last year there was.
So is it free?
I can call.
Like they can just, our team can just go up.
I think it's like $50, I think, to register.
Bucks.
Yeah.
So maybe I just will, okay, we'll try to get some rent.
But like for Randy,
yeah.
Like for Randy, you know, we were talking like, hey, we want this whole thing outside with coffee and canopy. And he's like,
eh. Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? Take a Sunday off, go to Life Church. I'll call them and I'm going to tell them that you're coming. Mm-hmm. And so I called, who's that guy? I forget his name. Anyways, a guy there. And I was like, hey, my guy's coming. And can he hang out with your Connect team lead? He's like, oh, yeah. So we'll do. And so Jeremy Pace or something like that or whatever, Peace or something, I don't know. Anyway. And so we sent him over there. He came back. He could stop talking. And you know, he had all kinds of ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because he saw
it. Yes, it was vivid.
He felt it.
He saw it.
Here it is again.
Yeah,
next time he was in the
corner.
Check this out.
Yeah. He was I still think we need to get another one on the other side.
I plus V equals R.
Yeah. Imagination.
He had to see it. But he not only saw it, it wasn't just sitting out there. He felt it. He went, and he's like, man, they're so kind. They poured my coffee. I felt so welcome. They saved me a seat. They took me to lunch. Like, he felt it.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to do this. Mm-hmm. So if you see that your teams are bringing, like, why are you doing that all the time? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times do I have to say... Or, like, where, and that is the most insane, out-of-the-box, like, you want to start your service with rules? Like, that is just so culturally inconsistent. Or, you know, what you were talking about. Or whatever. Or, like, why can't I ever get my team to do, even though I tell them to do this every single week, but they never do it? I think what we're seeing is that they're looking at it saying... That doesn't look like a big deal. You got to zoom in the picture like, oh my gosh, that's a huge deal. That is a big deal. So you got to get them closer to the vision. And sometimes the way we get them closer to the vision is they're taking the conferences. Sometimes the way that we get them closer to the vision is, you know what, guys? I think we need to do, like, we're going to do a 30-day, and we're going to do a 3-day intensive. I'm going to bring you Friday, 2 sessions, Saturday, and then we're going to do lunch on Sunday afternoon. And I know this is a lot to ask, but I think we've got some inconsistency, and I want to pour into you. So I'm going to do this for you, and we're gonna intensify this. I'm going to teach. I'm going to train. I'm going to equip. I'm going to release. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to prophesy over you. This is going to be amazing. Block out your calendar on these dates. We're going to do this.
Yeah,
let's go for
the conference.
I'm going to pour vision into you, and so sometimes it's that way, sometimes it's just in the huddles, just kind of drip it in the huddles, printed material, video training, but you got to get them close. Mm-hmm. You got to, like, I think when I heard that, the first thing that came to my mind is they're distant. Not relationally distant, like that, but visionary, like
but
they're seeing something
different.